flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good morning. We are closing in on the weekend. Oh, that makes me so happy. Happy Friday to our friend Boomer Esiason, who's popped into our studio.
It's a happy feel-good Friday. Good morning, Amy.
I should say goodnight to
you. As I wake up, soon. You get ready to go to sleep.
But I do go home and eat breakfast. I don't know what is it about this particular shift or time slot. I am so hungry. So I bring snacks, but by the time I get to about 4:30 Eastern time, my stomach is growling so loudly that it's almost hard to concentrate.
You're hungry because you're tired. I have the same feeling at around 11:30 after I get off my shift and I get home, and it's around 11:30, I'm looking for something to eat
because I choose to believe it's because talking burns calories.
You can convince yourself that. That's fine. Yeah, we're losing weight as we sit here.
Yes, that's what I think.
Exactly.
So Boomer Esiason, former NFL MVP, and I was going to talk to him about football, right? But he wants to talk about baseball.
Just for a minute. What do you mean?
Well, I mean you and I. So you posted on Twix, is what I call it, last night that Pete Alonso today could re-sign with the Mets. Are you feeling optimistic?
Oh, it's a feel-good Friday. That's what I say. And, I do have, a hunch, let's put it that way. I don't want to put anybody in a really bad spot in my life, so I will not do that. But look, where's Pete going to go? I know that he really feels like he's underpaid and probably underappreciated by David Stearns and the Mets, and I'll say this on my own show here in New York, but I am a Met fan, and I'm a legitimate Met fan. I mean, I'll go to games, but I watch the games. I know the players. Tom Seaver was one of my favorites growing up. That's how old I am. And I had really the time of my life visiting him at his Calistoga Winery back around Super Bowl 50 out in San Francisco.
Wow.
And before he passed away. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most memorable days of my life, spending the day with him at his winery. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
But so saying that, I am a legitimate Met fan, you know, and Pete Alonso is not going to the Blue Jays. He's not going to the Reds. He's not going to the,
everyone goes to the Dodgers.
Yeah, he's not going there either. They got Freddie Freeman. So, and surprised they haven't offered him $500 million to go there. But look, I know he feels a little bit underappreciated, but I also know that the best place for him is first base for the Mets over the next 3 years. Maybe they give an opt out or something. And maybe I'm an optimistic Met fan, which you don't really find very often. But I would love to see him in this lineup. And if you love baseball, the polar bear belongs in New York, belongs at first base. And my message to Steve Cohen is, look, you've done a lot of great things for us as fans, and I can't complain about much of it. All I can tell you is that you got to do this one. You got to make this one happen, because I think all the fans would then probably run even buy more season tickets and sponsorships would go up.
I was rooting for him because of Playoff Pumpkin. Also, he just has a flair for the dramatic. So yeah, we'll see what happens. Like,
he had an off year. He bet on himself, Aime. He had an off year. He's 30 years old. If he was 27, he'd get more money and he'd get longer term.
But he wants to stay, which I think is valuable.
And look, he's still going to make $25 million a year. So,
and considering the Jets and Giants are so bad, it's nice to have some positive baseball news. We're not going to talk about New York football. That's not why you're in here.
Oh, thank God.
Something interesting I heard about you recently, though. You were telling the story. I never knew this about you. You had a chance to be a Packer at the end of your career.
I did. I actually did, yes. All right, because I know that you probably saw a meme that Al Dukes, my producer, put out there on X with me in a Packer uniform. And the reason he did that is because, yes, we were talking about it in 1997. Mike Holmgren tried to convince me to be Brett Favre's backup.
Oh, my gosh. And, how did I not know this about you?
Well, I don't know. It's not one of those stories that, you know, made a lot of noise back then. But I was sitting in his office, and he goes, you know, I'd really love to have you here, Boomer. You know our offense. You know, and it was the whole West Coast offense thing. Bill Walsh, Sam Weish, Bruce Coslett. I was in that mix, you know. So he knew I knew his offense. And I knew I wasn't going to play because they had freaking Brett Favre there. And I was at the end of my career, and I was what you would consider a stopgap quarterback at the end of my career. It seems like that's the way that we describe these quarterbacks nowadays. But I went back to Cincinnati, and he didn't want to let me leave because they had quarterback camp that weekend right there at Lambeau. And I was, man, look at me. I'm looking out at Lambeau going, oh my God, it's Lambeau Field. How do I walk away from this? And then I saw Brett Favre and said, I'm getting the hell out of here. Not that I didn't like him or anything, but I didn't think I'd really have a chance to play. So go back to Cincinnati. Jeff Blake was the quarterback back then, who was my former teammate when I was the Jet quarterback. And the reason he went to Cincinnati is because Bruce Coslett was my head coach, who drafted Jeff out of East Carolina.
Wow.
So he knew about Jeff. The Jets drafted Glenn Foley in the middle of all this. Jeff got released, and Bruce picked him up out in Cincinnati, and then he took over for David Klingler, I believe. I think it was David Klingler. And Jeff went on to have a nice little career in Cincinnati. I went back to Cincinnati, backed him up, and then took over the last five games of the year and actually got to play.
Nice. Boomer Esiason, you know that voice. He's here with us after hours with Aime Lawrence. We're asking listeners, recency bias, last 25 years, best Super Bowl, which, of course, eclipses yours. But well, what are a few say, that would you would say are the best?
I was thinking right off the top of my head, because I've done 19 straight Super Bowls as, as an analyst. I mean, that Pittsburgh-Arizona one was insane.
Yes.
With Santonio Holmes in the back of the end zone. Was he in? Wasn't he in? You know, all the controversy that went in that. That James Harrison return at the end of the first half. And I was doing the game with Marv Albert that day.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remember that looking up at the clock as Marv is describing him coming back. I don't know if I said it on the air. I think I did. I said, he better score or, you know, this is going to be all for naught running it all the way back. Now, it was an interception. It kept Kurt Warner and the Cardinals out of the end zone. But, I mean, if you're going to, you know, make the 100-yard run, you got to score the touchdown because the clock was going to run out. There's going to be no time left on the clock. And sure enough, he scores the touchdown, and there was no time left on the clock. So that one was amazing. Obviously, the Giants beating the undefeated Patriots and Plaxico Burress and, you know, David Tyree's catch.
Yeah.
Amazing. New England coming back on Atlanta. And I'll never forget the two catches in that game. I think it was Julian Edelman had one, which was insane.
Right.
And Julio Jones had one along the sideline. That was,
I thought the game was over. When he caught
I
thought the game was over because it was a toe drag. He goes out of bounds. They're already in field goal range. And then
I feel so bad for Kyle Shanahan and Dan Quinn. I mean, because I was on the other side of losing a Super Bowl 23, which, you know, I would have said that would have been the best had we won, but we didn't. There's been so many great ones, and the ones between San Francisco and Kansas City have been great. Last year's was unbelievable. I don't care where they are in the game. It could be like, you know, 5 minutes to go in the game, and the Chiefs could be down 14, and somehow,
they were down 10 with seven to go.
Exactly.
In the 19 season. So a couple of years ago, you were in here and I asked you about Mahomes and why he made a great quarterback. And I distinctly remember because he has a wide ass. That's what you said. He's got a solid base.
Yeah, he has a very solid base and a really smart head. Yes.
Of course. So here we are now, years later. This team is developed into
a dynasty.
The toughest out in sports.
How about a dynasty?
Right, absolutely. You think you got them. They don't blow teams out. And yet still, you can't get rid of them. Why is that?
Well, they got the three-headed monster is Patrick Mahomes, first and foremost, Andy Reid, and Steve Spagnuolo. And I will tell you right now, I can't believe that Steve Spagnuolo didn't get, I think he might have gotten one interview for a potential head coaching spot.
One.
You know, teams want to get their head coaches in now. I mean, except for New Orleans, who's waiting probably for Kellen Moore.
Right.
But I will say that they have those three guys, and Patrick Mahomes wins the fourth quarter. He wins almost every fourth quarter. And when you look at his numbers, you know, he's catching up to Tom Brady. But Tom Brady, I think, played in 35 playoff games. That's 2 years worth of playoff games.
Oh, my gosh.
Two seasons worth of playoff games. Patrick Mahomes, I think this is going to be his 18th game. So he's on that precipice of greatness that Tom Brady left behind. And I think when Tom retired, he probably felt nobody's catching me in these categories. And maybe nobody will. I don't know. But all I do know is that if the Chiefs do win this and are the first team to ever win three in a row, I mean, we're in the midst of a dynasty. I mean, you know, they've gone to, what, seven straight AFC championship games. It's insane. I've been out to Arrowhead. I know what it's like. And I think for most football fans, I think we all have Chiefs fatigue. Would you agree?
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Well, I think I'd like a new storyline for the radio, but Mahomes is great.
Maybe Travis and Taylor will give it to us. And if they do that, I swear to God. And by the way, you can bet on that, whether or not he's going to get down on one knee and propose to her after the game in the post-game ceremonies.
If they lose?
No, if they win. But obviously, he does that. That's a douche move, I think. For two reasons. Gosh. You want to know why?
Why?
Two reasons. Number one, she deserves her own special night somewhere else, private.
Yes.
That's what I think.
That's
then they can put it on Instagram or wherever the hell they do these
things. Actually think it'll be private, though?
Well, I mean, after the fact. I mean, that's the way it should be between two people if they do actually really love each other, and this is not like some Instagram,
some,
you know,
display.
Hoax.
Yes.
Yeah, or all getting ghosted.
Wait, you
or
don't really think it's still a hoax?
No,
now.
I don't. I don't. Okay, know. I love a good American love story. Who doesn't, Amy? Come on. So anyway, I would say that's one reason why she deserves her time, the privacy of it all. And number two, I mean, the douche move part of it is that if your team just won its third Super Bowl, okay, don't take anything away from what your team has accomplished if you're Travis. And I think Travis is
a
tremendous teammate.
He is.
You know, he's a great personality. And I pray to God that this doesn't happen. And that he has the wherewithal to say, you know what, this is my team, this is our, you know. He's not going to do it at the Eras Tour or whatever, wherever she's singing next.
I think it's over now.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, he's not going to do it like during when she's doing her thing with her team. So why would you do this with your team when your team should be celebrating what has never been done before if they win?
Of all the things I thought we were going to talk about, Saquon Barkley was a Giant. Ultimately, takes about the same amount of money to go to Philly. Did you ever think it was going to go like this with the Eagles?
You know, I feel bad for the Giants, Joe Shane and John Mara. They really wanted them, but they didn't have the team, and they don't have the team that Philadelphia has. So Philadelphia and Howie Roseman, you know, Howie Roseman's amazing. Executive of the year again. His offseason got two new coordinators, an offensive and defense coordinator in Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. You know, signs Mekhi Becton at right guard, who almost ate himself out of the league when he was a immature Jet player. And now all of a sudden is walking off the field crying because he's so emotionally, fulfilled. Okay. And then, of course, you got Saquon Barkley, who's got every reason and every axe to grind that you possibly can, especially when you think about how much he's making and what he has given to this team. Same thing with Derrick Henry. Same thing with Josh Jacobs. Same thing with Aaron Jones. They all switched teams.
Yeah.
And they all got maybe a little bit more money from their new team, but they also all carried the load for, and just goes to show you how underpaid they truly are. So I'm really happy for Saquon.
Me
you
too.
Know, I think now. Is he the gold jacket guy that Dave Gettleman said he was when he drafted him? It looks like it.
Well, if he wins a Super Bowl,
oh my God,
has another couple good seasons.
And if he gets an MVP, it's going to be a fast track down to New Orleans. You know, they're not going to have to worry about slippery field like Philadelphia and Kansas City dealt with the last time these two teams played.
Yeah.
When Jalen Hurts should have gotten the MVP.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Three rushing touchdowns. But, you know, what people forget about that Super Bowl is that Patrick Mahomes in the second half was perfect. I think he was like 17 for 18, two touchdowns, no sacks, no fumbles, no turnovers. And there was one huge play in that Super Bowl, and that was on the unfortunate fumble by Jalen Hurts that led to the touchdown
right.
for the Chiefs.
Right. So I've gone to one, like actually been in the stadium one time. That was the Atlanta-New England game. And I was blown away by the fact that it's so different than what you see on TV. So you've called a bunch of them. You've gone to a bunch of them. People who've never been inside a stadium, what do they need to know? What are they missing?
You know what? It's corporate. But the atmosphere, though. The atmosphere is awesome. There's a real, like in this particular case, the Philadelphia fans are going to bring the edge to it. You know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, if you actually had a Kansas City Chief fan and a Philadelphia fan and you put them side by side, you'd have two really different people. You know what I mean? I think the Philadelphia fan will be bringing the energy for this Super Bowl. And like I said, I think most people do have Chiefs fatigue. I'm not one of those people. I want to see greatness. I want to see people set new standards and do things that nobody else has ever done before. So it's not like I'm rooting for the Chiefs, but I'm not against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And, you know, Philadelphia is a great story. Jalen Hurts is a great story. He's a second-round draft choice, made his way out of Alabama, had a chip on his shoulder, lost his way the last couple years, and now has seemed to have found his way back. And that's a nice little comeback story for those of us who played the position. So.
Well, and I'll be happy for Vic. I mean, Vic got bounced in Denver. And
yeah, well, but some guys are not head coaches,
guy,
you know?
Yeah. So
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think, just to talk about the Jets for a second, they hire Aaron Glenn, a former player, who's never been a head coach before. But watching him talk in his opening press conference, you say to yourself, that is a leader of men. Because that's what the Jets... Really, I thought Rob Saleh was that. I really did. And then unceremoniously fired like after week five after
Thanks,
a couple
Rogers.
Close games. Yeah, whatever. But I hope and I pray that Aaron Glenn's going to be able to do this. But, you know, they're behind the quarterback eight ball right now. Out of the 16 teams in the AFC, they're probably 15 when it comes to the quarterback situation. So they got to get that figured out. He's got to get his offensive coordinator. But I do believe, like, unlike Vic Fangio, I feel like maybe Aaron can make that jump from defensive coordinator to head coach.
He's intense.
And be the, yeah, that's right.
And defiant.
He's got a little bit of the Parcells
fierce.
Thing. The whole thing, that's a whole Parcells, like getting the band back together. You know, all these guys, these young guys, have all been okayed by the Tannenbaum, Parcells, Peyton, Dan Campbell kind of group. That's the group. That's the Parcells group. They all learned under Parcells.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron played for Parcells at the Jets and certainly under Campbell, under Peyton. So they all said, yeah, this guy's ready to go, and hopefully he is because he's going to need every ounce of energy and not get steamrolled here by the media in New York.
But even like Pete Carroll in Vegas, I mean, you can be a great coach, a championship coach, but if you don't have a quarterback, it's a lot harder to win. So hopefully the Johnsons are a little more patient.
Well, I don't – the fan base. The fan base right now is excited, just like I want the Met fan base to be excited today with Pete
Mets
Alonso.
And Jets.
I think the fan base is excited. I think they like what they heard from Aaron Glenn. But I just – the quarterback situation is so dire that, you know, if they win six games next year, it's because he has willed them to six games as we sit here now.
Right.
Now, if you told me that they're bringing Aaron Rodgers back, you know, we'll see. Well, I don't know how that would work. But I also know that given where Aaron is from and where, you know, he's coached around, these guys all want veteran – you know, quarterbacks, unless they can find the next Bo Nix.
Right. Or the next Jaden Daniels.
Or somebody like that. I mean, you know, you win. I think, like, Sean Payton won the lottery. Because that's one pick right there that, you know, the Giants passed on. Like, all these teams passed on that could have used him. But here's the weird thing. I don't think he would have been as good anywhere else as he is Peyton. In Denver yeah. because of Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. Just like Patrick Mahomes going to Kansas City.
With Andy Reid, exactly.
It's perfect.
For sure.
That the environment has to be there for a young quarterback to flourish. And that's why Cliff Kingsbury was so important to the development yeah. of Jaden Daniels Very down
cool.
in Washington.
Very cool. You're the best.
What are you leaving here, by the way?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Aren't you leaving us like after 12 years? Have you been here for 12 years?
12 plus years.
I mean, but legitimately in this studio where we yes. are right now.
Yeah, started. It's looked a lot different. There used
what
to
year did you start?
Windows. Oh, we launched the network on January 1st, 2013.
All right, yeah. So I got here in 07, and I guess we moved into this building because WFAN yeah. is right
Didn't
next to you.
Didn't you used to use this studio? We stole
did.
It from you?
Yeah, we yeah. did. Yeah.
So, and they
yeah.
were going to build us new ones. That never happened.
It's
so
a beautiful
here we are.
Studio, though.
I know. You like it because it doesn't smell like boys in here.
No. Well, that's you know, I kind of do agree with that statement, yes.
All right.
But I'm one of those boys. So are you telling
no,
me that
smell
I stink?
No, nope, you smell fine.
I mean, I put on cologne every morning.
Thank you for doing
don't
that.
You? I can't believe you don't notice.
Thank you, Boomer. Good
right,
to talk
welcome,
to you.
Amy. Good
former
to see
NFL
you.
MVP. I like to say that. No one can ever take that away. Have a good weekend. Yeah. All right. We're a little bit late, but that was worth it. Totally worth it to talk to Booms about Super Bowl stuff.